Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. I'm pumped because today we're going over Dark Horse Impact players, which the 49ers have quite a few of them. I think the roster construction that kind of has to take place, you have two options whenever you have this many kind of stalwarts, prolonged careers, top of the paid position players with, you know, Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa. Like, you've got a lot of your foundation tied up in those just perennial Pro Bowl, all pro players, rightfully so. That's a blessing to be able to have them play so long. But then you saw last year where it was like, okay, well, we're going to kind of take our medicine. We're going to pair that up with a whole bunch of rookies and cheap vet minimum guys, and we're just going to try to make it work. Yeah, he went on a run despite almost all those pillars getting injured and won a playoff game on the road, which was awesome. And now you're seeing what happens the other way. So you either super top heavy, not a lot of depth. That's 2025. Now you're backing up those pillars that you have on the roster with quality veteran depth and now second year players that got an opportunity to see some time and get a lot of reps in practice and camp, preseason and games. And now it's like, all right, you kind of seasoned some of these players to be like, all right, what are we doing here? You got to show up or you got to get left behind. Because the competition of this 2026 49ers roster, it's intense, man. And there is just not enough room to keep all the players of potential. They just haven't done it yet. You got to do it. And so we've got some rookies we're going to talk about today. We've got some second-year players we're going to talk about today. And we even have some veteran bargain kind of wild card players we're going to talk about today as we continue our roster countdown. We're at number 43 to number 39, and this is episode 1668 of 49ers Rush Podcast. Have to say thank you to Josh, Ben, and Zach. They help write this entire episode, and shout out to the countdown crew coming in with the hashtag CCs. Howdy was first today. Appreciate you guys. Monkey, he's in there. What's up, Cubs? Appreciate you guys. Josh, there he is right there. 49ers faithful forever 90. He's a legend. There's Ben. Look at that. We got two legends. Zach didn't watch live, but I know he is with us, man. Appreciate you, buddy. What's up, Thomas? Dude, it is a wonderful, wonderful day. And man, I gotta be honest, I had to get on this show early on. The kiddo has moved out. We woke up early, packed up the car, him and the wife, took off down to Texas as he starts a new chapter of his life. I'm so freaking proud of him. Yeah, Chapman is freaking chilling at home, writing 49ers episodes and doing his thing. And it's like a weird new moment in life. You know, the wife and I, we foster adopted our boys. Ah, goodness, I don't know, 14 years ago. And so we got them young, but now they're graduated and on their own. And hopefully, you know, everything goes well. I know they're gonna have a lot of hiccups, but man, I'm excited. I don't really get sad about a lot of things. It just kind of conditioned to, all right, what's next? All right, what's next? All right, like that's just kind of where I am. But I'm proud of the kiddo and excited. So for anybody out there with well wishes, man, Lil Chapman is spread his wings, baby. he is out there ready to take on some new chapters. And so I'm excited for him. And man, hopefully that excitement comes across today. I love it. I love it. Nowhere else I'd rather be right now. This is awesome. Maria, ready to talk roster again. Love these streams. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Cubs, it's always a fun game until the top 20. Guessing who is next on the countdown. Man, we've got some fun ones. And I hate the worst part about this roster countdown is like, dude, that player's really that low. And it's like, no, that's not right. And so like I could throw out a name. It could be anybody. You know what I mean? Ricky Pearsall or whatever. And you're like, and I tell you the number that they're at. And you're like, no. That's way too low. He has to be higher on the list. But then you start going through the list and it's like, okay, well, who do you want to put him ahead of? Yeah. And again, the way we do this, me, Josh, Zach, and Ben, we rank 1 through 91. We compile those averages and that's how we come up with this. So it's not a flawless process for sure, but we do have a little bit of a consensus and it's a fun process. And so whenever we do have a player ranked way too low to your liking, keep that player in mind and you form your own list and just be like, well, I would put him above here, but maybe not that guy. So maybe you could have that kind of conversation. It's fun to create that dialogue. Maria, Texas is ready to welcome him. I love it. I love it. What's up, Steven? Appreciate you, man. All right, let's get to it. Number 43 on the 49ers roster countdown. Big plays, returner upside, but an uphill climb on that depth chart. Jordan Watkins. Second-year wide receiver from Ole Miss. He was at Louisville, then transferred to Ole Miss. Weird player. I was completely out on him pre-draft. I watched some of his tape, and I was like, no, I don't see it. The funny thing is now the 49ers have gone back-to-back drafts, drafting an ex-wide receiver from Ole Miss. You guys know how much I hate that wide receiver offensive scheme, that stupid Art Briles, whatever the hell you want to call it, POS system. Where they take plays off, and yeah, it's just gross. Don't run even a quarter of the route tree. But Jordan Watkins has a lot of upside. Last year, he was 57 on the roster countdown. This year, he's 43. And so he's jumped up considerable 14 spots, despite the 49ers adding 5 wide receivers. I think a lot of that has to do with is Jordan Watkins and Jacob Cowing. Like, those are probably the two prominent starting returner candidates for punt return and kickoff return. So there is a place for Jordan Watkins, and he just has this upside. Dominated camp last year, was awesome. Goes into the first preseason game, he gets hurt, gets a high ankle sprain, never recovered the year. It finally, you know, got back to cleared and whatever else, and then he couldn't pass anybody on the depth chart. It was a struggle, and you know, I say this all the time, talk about Mike Evans, like, how do wide receivers win? If you win with speed, which Jordan Watkins does, Mike Evans does not, and then you lose the speed, high ankle sprain, man, that's your trick. That is your, what makes you separate literally and figuratively from the competition. You lose that speed, you are now devoid of what makes you special. And that is what makes Jordan Watkins special. Like, the one thing that he does arguably better than almost anybody on the roster, stack corners vertically. And what that means is on those go routes, fade routes, nine routes, whatever you want to call them, post routes, excel past the corner and then stack them vertically where the corner is now directly behind you, not in your hip pocket to the side, because that gives the quarterback a better window to throw the deep ball. Jordan Watkins does that in spades. That is his ace in the hole. Stacking corners vertically, which you have to have elite acceleration and elite speed to do, he has that. Ran a 4.37. He's got speed. And you could be like, well, doesn't Deshaun Stribling run a 4.3? He does. Does not stack corners vertically anything like Jordan Watkins does. And then you look at Ricky Pearsall. He's not a blazer, but still a 4.4 guy. I've never seen him stack a corner vertically in his entire career. He wins horizontally, right? So Deshaun Stribling is a little bit more of a king of all traits. He's huge. He's fast. The in-out breaks probably not going to fit into that, but possession wide receiver, tough, great hands. Deshaun Stribling is just so damn good at everything. Jordan Watkins is a vertical threat with returner upside. That's the difference in this wide receiver core with these first, second-year players and kind of how it all goes about. So Jordan Watkins wears jersey number 17 5'11", 196, not a big wide receiver by any stretch, but not small either. 24 years old, so younger than some of the rookies this year. Was at Louisville for two seasons, then transferred to Ole Miss, was there for three seasons. Nickname is the Gauntlet. Raised in Kentucky, where he went to Butler High School. Excellent football player, track and field guy. Three-star recruit, goes to Louisville before transferring to Ole Miss. You know, not big, but not small. He's on the smaller side for sure. But just speed. And the 49ers, when they draft him, they talked about just speed, big plays. That is what he brings. Wasn't really even, he was kind of a rotational piece at Ole Miss for three seasons. He wasn't like one of their number one or two starting wide receivers until somebody got hurt. Trey Harris gets hurt. He steps in, dominates, does very, very well in a short window. Had this incredible game against Arkansas where Jordan Watkins had eight catches, 250 yards, and three touchdowns. Kyle Shanahan loves offensive players. We're going to see this later in this breakdown as well in this the countdown series today. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself, you can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's three easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. That's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees. He loves players that can take over a game. You can go back and you can look at Dante Pettis, Jalen Hurd, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Danny Gray, Ty Davis Price, Trey Sermon. One of the things all of those players have in common, they all have this one staple game in their resume where Kyle Shanahan could look at it and go, look at that. If he gets on, he's going to take over that game. Kyle loves that. I don't know why, but you know, we do. And whenever we're writing all these draft profiles every year, which we did 200 plus of them this year, whenever there is an offensive playmaker that has one of those, you know, on fire NBA GM type games, then you kind of put a star by his name and you're like, all right, this is a guy. This is a guy, right? Chris Collinsworth. He fits that mold. But again, can you talk about, wasn't even a starter at Ole Miss, was not one of the top two starters at the wide receiver position, gets drafted in the fourth round, number 138 overall. And you look at the wide receivers taken right after Jordan Watkins, Keandre Lambert-Smith, who is a stud, and Torrey Horton, who is a stud in our division. Like, I think there's always going to be this kind of, you know, competition between those three players because they all kind of went back to back to back. They all play, you know, kind of the X outside wide receiver role. No doubt Jordan Watkins is far behind them, even though he was selected ahead of them after one season, but it's just one season. The results are not concluded. You're hoping he could start to contribute a little bit more. He only played four games last year, zero starts, 25 snaps, no special team snaps, which is kind of weird. He had three targets, had two catches on three targets, 26 yards, 13 yards per reception. That's solid. Made $1.5 million last year. You know, those rookie contracts, they're pretty, you know, heavy bladed with future guarantees. Now you look at the depth chart position and, you know, your order might be a little bit different than mine. Usually the 49ers keep five. This year they're going to be keeping six. Sometimes they keep six. Mike Evans, one. Pearsall, two. Christian Kirk, Deshaun Stribling, 3-4, however you want to do that. And then it turns into a little bit of a mix. Jordan Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, Jacob Cowing, those three might be fighting for one or two spots. And then you got the long shots, Malik Turner, Junior Bergen, Wesley Grimes, Will Paulin, Colton Dowell. There's a lot of guys. It's 12 wide receivers fighting for six, maybe five spots. Somebody's going to be upset. Somebody's going to get left out. There's just not enough seats. It's musical chairs out there. It's kind of crazy the way this is going to go down. Cubs, what's up, man? That's what I'm saying. I thought we did Watkins already. I realize I'm wrong, but he wasn't on my guest list for the show. There's just so many wide receivers. Shanahan carries so many wide receivers because, one, it's very, very difficult to play wide receiver in this scheme. Two, if you don't have the wide receiver bodies, it's tough to run a training camp. Think about all the hamstrings. Think about all the calf strains. Think about all the knee stuff. Think about all that stuff. You've got to have the bodies to be able to rotate at least nine wide receivers through a practice because you're doing three separate teams. And the way the 49ers function their training camp practices, wide receivers are on their rotation play by play by play. All right, three wide receivers, you're up. We run our play. O-line stays, quarterback stays, running back stays, tight end stay sometimes. Wide receivers, you're off, three new ones. Run a play, wide receivers off, three new ones. Meanwhile, the O-line and quarterback and running, they haven't changed at all. That's just the way they platoon their practices. You've got to have those wide receiver bodies through camp and preseason. You just have to. Especially whenever you got somebody that you got bubble wrap like Ricky Pearsall. You got Mike Evans who, let's be honest, is he going to get the Trent Williams CMC treatment? He damn sure should. Christian Kirk, well-established vet. He's had some injuries throughout his career as well. So you're already talking like, man, we've got three guys. Probably not going to get the elite amount of reps. So that leaves nine. How many wide receivers do you have to run camp? Nine. So you're kind of at that threshold. And some of the other positions suffer, safety, tight end, running back, where you need depth. Can't have it because we got to have all these wide receivers. It's kind of frustrating there. Josh, if Cowan could stay healthy, he could be something, in my opinion. And yeah, like we had Jacob Cowan. We just did him last episode, right? And I had Cowan 48. We had Cowan 48. DeMarcus Robinson 47. And then we're sitting right here with, you know, Jordan Watkins, 43. They're stacked right there. Like, who wants it? Now, Watkins and Cowan, they provide returner upside. They provide youth moving into the future. DeMarcus Robinson's a better wide receiver than them. Hands down, bar none, reliable. You ain't got to worry about anything. He can play all three positions. Now, can't return. Never. He's not a returner at all. But you start looking at it, it's like, all right, how do you want to differentiate and break up this group. Because I cannot see a world where Jordan Watkins, Jacob Cowing, and DeMarcus Robinson all make this roster. The only way I could even feasibly see that happening is if Jordan Watkins, Jacob Cowing make the 53. You do a handshake agreement with DeMarcus Robinson, say we're going to cut you, bring you back on the practice squad, throw you some extra guaranteed money for your troubles because he doesn't go through waivers. Just promise us you're coming back. We'll elevate you weeks one, week two, and then we'll see what happens and we'll go from there. But we'll give you an extra $100,000 cash if you come back and do us a solid. That's the only way. That's the only way. Even if there is an injury ahead of them on the depth chart, Evans, Pearsall, Kirk, Stribling, still don't see how you keep all three of these guys. Somebody's got to win. Maria, yeah, wide receiver room's crowded. Time for some of these guys to stand out. Jordan Watkins has the trump card because he does what none of those Cowing can stack some guys vertically, but that's not really what he's known for. But that deep vertical threat, that is the rarest thing. That is the most valuable thing. And I give Watkins a little bit of a hat tip over Cowing because he's younger. He has more time left on his rookie deal. And we've seen it more from him, which is weird because he didn't really play but four games last year. But we have seen Jordan Watkins make plays, albeit training camp, but I've seen it consistently. It's there. Oh, what's up? Niner Empire Denmark in the house. I absolutely love that. What's up, Himsefer? You the freaking man. Man, the fight for wide receivers is going to be a dogfight. That's right, Shannon. It's just tough. It just is. Brady, so do you think we have a top 10 wide receiver room? Not with names, but with potential. Top 10's hard. Definitely, you know, I remember after the draft, I went through and just started counting. Do I have? Man, it might be in my season-long notes. Let me just do a real quick. I know this. Man, I might not be able to find it. I don't think I'm going to. Yeah, I'm trying to do just a quick search on my notes page, which has, I don't even know how many pages, too many pages, because I remember doing just a quick off the wall kind of where the 49ers wide receiver room ranks and which rooms I would put ahead of them. They were kind of in that 10 to 15 range. And for a few of them, it's like, okay, you might be able to get them as high as 8. That's a big if, you know, if you want to press depth over starters and whatever else. But they're definitely probably, you could argue, one of the best improved position groups across the NFL. Definitely the most improved position group for the 49ers going from 2025 to 2026. It's the wide receiver room. You brought in 5 new guys. You get Cowing back. Jordan Watkins, you're hoping, does something. It's a solid room, man. It is a solid room. Monk, appreciate the kind wishes. You are the freaking man. You are the man. John, my guy. Brady here. What's up, Brady? We met at the Seattle game at the press box week one last year. I helped you set up a bit. Yes. Yes, Brady. Thank you for making the connection in my brain head. I just see all the tags and stuff. I have struggle with the connection. So thank you. He asked, do you still have Australia spots open for the Australia trip? Yes, I do. Yes, we do. Now, the Australia trip's crazy. Like, whenever they announced it, I was like, oh, we're going. And we are going. And the wife's going. I finalized her ticket and all that stuff. But when people are like, dude, I want to go to the Australia trip so bad. I'm like, awesome. I really hope you come out. Look at prices first. It's insanity. I never knew how expensive Australia is. It's insane. Literally, the venues that we have, most expensive venues, tickets, most expensive tickets, hotels, most, like, it's just pricey. But yeah, go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. We have tickets up for just the tailgate. We have tickets up for the day before. And if you click on either one of those Australia packages or events, you'll see a link for the entire Australia package, which includes airfare, hotels, you know, trips to the wildlife, trips to the beach. We're doing a wine tour, like all kinds of different stuff. That is there. Same thing with Mexico. We're going international not once, but twice this year. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. You just click on one of the Mexico events. We have the day before rally, and we have the all-inclusive tailgate. You click on one of those, and you can just buy to that a la carte event. But on both of those events, you'll see a little hyperlink where if you want to do to Mexico with flights, hotel included, ticket, game tickets included, all that, we, whatever it is you want for those international games, because I understand the stress that goes into that. I want to take that all away. It's not cheap. It is a lot because one, we don't do cheap trips. We stay in a very nice hotel in a very safe place. And that, and if you buy the full package with us, that includes all you can eat, drinks, game tickets, you name it, everything, transportation. I mean, we got it covered for you. I understand it's not for everybody. I really, really do. We are trying to host these events. And again, that's why we do the a la carte options as well. You know, our motto for all of our Rush road trips is to break even. We're not breaking even this year. We are losing a considerable money with how much Australia costs and how much Mexico costs. But I see those as trips of a lifetime, experiences of a lifetime. And if I could participate and play a tiny little role in somebody else having one of those trips of a lifetime and memories for a lifetime, that is why we do this. I make my money on the podcast, sponsorships, and, you know, the 49ersRush.com and our Patreon. That is how I see my income. Yeah, I always like to make more. And shoot, might as well plug it while we're here. We have a Zoom hangout tonight. Tonight, the 29th at 5 p.m. is where I get to hear from you guys. So come join us. The details for that Zoom hangout has already been posted on our Patreon channel. Link in the description of this video or podcast. Or on the 49ersRush.com. Link in the description of our video or podcast, however you watch and or listen. 7-day free trial. Go check it out. Come join us tonight. You can cancel afterwards. No skin off my back. Not a big deal. But if you like what we do here and you want us to do it more often, that's the way to do it. That allows us to kind of do our thing. There we go. Maria, Watkins is bigger, not height, but bulk compared to Cowan's tiny. Now, he's a micro machine. There's no doubt about it. So yeah, like you've got like the three Goldilocks and the three bears, like Cowan, the baby bear, you got Watkins right in the middle, and then you got Deshaun Stripling, Mike Evans, who are just like these behemoths. Ed Notorious, what's up, man? Welcome, brother. Just need Watkins to stay healthy. He's high ankle sprain. That happens. Brady, yeah, I think Bergen's getting cut. I don't think there's even a chance he makes it, sadly. We'll see. Right here, John Swanson, 11 weeks to recover. Dr. Kate Shanahan reduced to 2 weeks recovery. Soft tissue problems are her specialty. Look at that. I probably shouldn't have clicked on that. That's okay. Appreciate you, man. And I love the back and forth that is taken on in the chat. I love it. I love it. I love it. So that's Jordan Watkins. Now a new addition comes in at number 42. Cheap, but experienced, veteran depth, major injury red flag. Can you guess the player? None other than Robert Jones coming in, fighting for that left guard starting spot. He is 27. Crazy whenever you look at the career that he has had. This is somebody that started multiple games at multiple positions. Great run blocking guard. 6'4", 322. Wears jersey number 65. And, man, real fun story. Unique story. Born and raised in Rockford, Illinois, went to Rockford East High School, wasn't recruited out of high school, so he went to community college route, went to Highland Community College for 2 seasons, then transfers to Middle Tennessee State, was there for 2 years, goes undrafted, and eventually he becomes a 4-year starter for the Dolphins. Like, not recruited, community college, transfers up to Middle Tennessee State is a historic university with amazing players peppered throughout NFL history. But usually these types of players that, you know, are 6'4", they have this size, whatever, they transfer to, you know, one of the, you know, kind of big four conference programs. Transfer to Middle Tennessee State, didn't get any publicity, no draft, whatever, gets an undrafted free agent, starts 4 years for the Dolphins, but then breaks a neck in his bone, breaks a bone in his neck last year in practice. It just really has not played for basically a year and a half. So this guy, you know, he was on the Cowboys, never really played. That's where he broke the bone in his neck. Seems to be ready to roll. He's 27 years old, but man, that is a major, major issue. If there is any issues that arise from that, his career is probably over the next time that's up. So then you start going through like, well, what did the 49ers pay to get this guy? 1 year, $1.7 million deal, almost fully guaranteed. $1.6 million of it is guaranteed. The Niners have invested in Robert Jones. This is considerably more than what they paid Ben Bartsch last year to come in and start. Couldn't stay healthy. But like you're paying, and again, Robert Jones going into his sixth NFL season. He's played 49 games. He started 30 of them. 2,100 plus snaps, majority at left guard. That's where the 49ers need it. He is a run-blocking, zone scheme, heavy-handed left guard. Quality. Is he a top 10? No. Is he a top 20? Probably not. Is he top 30? No. But this is a 27-year-old that fits your scheme, that has so much experience already in this scheme, that could step in and start. And he's 27 on a one-year deal. This could be a guy that starts for 3 years. Could be a guy that doesn't play at all. This is a gamble. This is, let's see what happens. 49ers don't value paying offensive line. They, you know, you get the Jake Brindles. You get somebody like Lakin Tomlinson. You get Spencer Burford. You get these guys, and you let Aaron Banks, let them go get paid elsewhere. They do not invest capital in the left guard, right guard spots. They just don't. And so if Robert Jones can fulfill that job and do an adequate job, man, maybe you lock him up for a 2 to 3 year deal and pay him $4 to $5 million a year. Nothing would make the 49ers happier. He's just played a lot of quality snaps, and they don't really have that in that room. So, he's 27, but does have a broken bone in his neck that he had surgery on. He's overcoming that. Now, you look at the depth chart at the guard spot, Dominic Pooney, clear-cut, giant chasm between him and anybody else. Connor Colby is who I think is going to win the left guard job. Brett Toth, he's your kind of utility guy, center guard. He can do it all. Robert Jones, probably left guard only. Carver Willis, where's he going to fit? Nick Sakel, yeah, he's still there. That's kind of where it is. But, man, you look at Robert Jones, $8.7 million career earned. How badass is that? Like, that is just so cool, man. I love it. Now, let's see how the comments are coming. Cubs coming in hot. Nope, didn't guess Robert Jones either. I'm really not good at this game. That's okay. It's a fun game to play. Maybe I need to do better on the clues. My Alex Trebek is weak. I mean, I got to improve on giving you guys better clues. So I'm going to put that on me. Don't give up on me, Cubs. Don't you quit. Maria, I knew he was next. The neck injury scares me. But if he is healthy, he could be a great addition to the O-line. That's huge. Yeah, neck in his bone. Texas, it's going to happen. It's all jumbled up here in the brain bucket. It doesn't come out the correct order sometimes. I can't help it. It just goes too fast. It comes out too slow. It's just bad. right here, have we gotten to Toth or Vedarian yet? We have not. They have not been covered yet. If Juice doesn't make the top 20, I might cry real tears. Hang in there, Gav. I you know I love you, man. You know I love you. What about Bob? Baby steps, baby. Baby steps. All right. Robert Jones. That comes in at number 42. Let's get to number 41. None other than Neo himself, the chosen one. He's old. He's tough. He's a rookie. Below average measurables, but man, one of these rookies got to hit at some point. Kalen Black comes in number 41. Pretty high. You know, I talked about all the wide receiver depth, and there are positions where the 49ers are just stacked. You talk about linebacker. You talk about corner. You talk about wide receiver. You talk about quarterback, a lot of bodies in the offensive line, defensive tackle room, all those are. running back is light. I thought they were going to add two running backs. They only added one. I think that's a mistake. I still think that they need another running back. One, just to get through training camp. Because, again, Christian McCaffrey, he don't practice very much. Yeah, you're going to wear these dudes out. Now, Kalen Plett, let's focus on him. Number 41 on the roster countdown. Where's jersey number 26? 5'9", 208, small frame. Already 24. He will turn 25 when the season starts. One of the oldest rookie running backs drafted in a long time. Dude wasn't even invited to the combine. Super small stature frame-wise. Small hands, small arms, small legs. Jacked, though. I mean, this dude, 450 bench press, 500-plus squats. Dude has never missed a day in the weight room in his life. He's Malik Mustafa 2.0. Like, he is jacked, which is positive and negative. Because his physicality is maxed out. He cannot add more weight. He cannot add more speed. This dude is already, you have evolved this human being as much as physically possible with the stature that he was given. There's a reason why this dude was not a starter in college. He started 1 year at James Madison out of 6 years. Like, he started 1 year. He hasn't started three seasons. Wasn't invited to the combine. He's a good player. He's a great kid. He's got a great attitude. This was probably the pick that pissed everybody off the most out of 49ers fans because, one, you always get these third-round running backs that are insane reaches that nobody else thought, whatever. Kalen Black, that's not his fault. That's not his fault. He has nothing to do with Ty Davis Price, with, you know, Joe Williams, with, Trey Sermon. He has nothing to do with any of those guys. That is not Kalen Black's fault. That's why I call him Neo. Because there's so much that he brings that I think is consistent. Consistency is key. You get him two, he gets you four. You get him three, he'll get you five. There's some big playability there at the college level. I'm not sure that translates. This is a chain mover, first down machine, goal line type guy. Question marks galore to his game. I'm just going to be very, very honest with you. There are a lot. The age, how long do running backs last in the NFL? And it kind of death sentence at 28. This dude's 25 already. Now, always been a part of a running back guy committee. He's never started. Very similar to Isaac Arendo. And very little usage out of the backfield. Can he do anything in the receiving game? I think that he can. You know, in back-to-back years at Indiana, he only had 12 targets total through two seasons. Now, good news, didn't drop any of them. You go back to 2023, whenever his 1 year as a starter in Kurt Cignetti's system, he had 27 receptions that year. So, can he do it is a question that is worth entertaining. Has he done it? He has not. He's going to have to. Went to James Madison, was there for four seasons, then transferred to Indiana for two. This is the reason why he's 25 years old. Kalon Black, one of four kids, grew up in Virginia Beach, Florida. His father played linebacker at Norfolk State. Black attended Salem High School, where he was a four-year letterman on the football team after helping Salem reach the playoffs as a freshman. He was second-team All-State as a sophomore. Dude had 1,600 yards, 18 touchdowns, commits to James Madison, Kurt Cignetti, stays with them. These Kurt Cignetti specials, man, we have so many of them on this roster. It's quite interesting, to say the least, just how many guys they just keep, whether it's, you know, you're getting undrafted free agents, whether it's quarterbacks, you know, you look at the Maple Missile, you talk last year, with the defensive tackle that they CJ West, like they got a lot of these guys. They got a lot of them. Now, Kalon Black graduated with a degree in liberal studies from Indiana. He accepted his invitation at Senior Bowl. The only player from Miami or Indiana that were in the national championship game to go and play in the Senior Bowl. This dude took freaking 5 days off and then went to the freaking Senior Bowl. Like, he is a workhorse that seizes opportunities. You got to love that. You just have to. And he had an incredible college football run. That's probably one of the best things about him. You look at the three-game college football playoffs, that 241 rush yards, three touchdowns in those three games. Like, he was at his best versus the best, and that was against Alabama defense, Oregon defense, Miami defense. Those are no slouch defenses. And so you're like, man, could this guy do it in the NFL level? Did it against the best of the best and was at his best versus those teams on the biggest stages. You got to like that. Now he gets drafted the third round, 90th overall. At least it was the back of the third round. And it was a horrible running back draft class. Like, that was the weakest position by far. So you knew there were going to be some reaches. You just really hoped to win the 49ers and Kyle, who has done it so much. And man, we have to see how it shakes out. Nobody's played a play yet, but listen to the players that went after Kalon Black. Trey Zun, my number two center in this entire draft. Chris Bell, elite playmaking wide receiver. Jennings Dunker, Jonah Coleman, if you wanted to go running back. Mike Williams Jr. and Skylar Bell, one of my favorite players in this damn draft. Like, there's a lot of them there. I hope Kalon Black is better than all of them. And we're a little more removed from the draft now, so, you know, people are starting to buy into the Kalon Black thing. I know Kruger's all about him. Love that. But, man, didn't even start in college. Yeah. Could make a splash in camp. I mean, his spot is 100% guaranteed. One, Isaac Garendo's hurt now. He ain't going to be ready. And so you're going to see what Kalon Black is. Now, he needs to be a finished product because he's 25. He's going to be 25 at the start of the season. So you look at the depth chart. Christian McCaffrey, clear. Kyle Juszczyk, fullback, that's for you, Gav. Then it's Jordan James and Kalon Black. Those two guys are going to get all the work they've ever wanted and more through camp and preseason. They are going to get run into the ground. And there's nobody behind them. Isaac Grindo's already injured. Patrick Taylor Jr., who I like way more than Isaac Grindo's there, and Sincere McCormick. So those are your camp bodies, Patrick Taylor Jr., Sincere McCormick. But, like, Jordan James, Kalon Black will be players that will contribute at minimum. Let's assume Christian McCaffrey stays as healthy as he was last year. That is a long assumption and a long shot. Let's just assume. Somebody's got to play the Brian Robinson role. At least. Returner? I think Jordan James and Kalon Black could be put back there as kickoff returners in the new scheme. I think that works. I have Jordan James way ahead of Kalon Black. There's just fewer questions, and I've seen it in this team. I have seen it a lot. A lot of people expect, including Ben, who helps with this thing, he thinks that Kalon Black's going to pass Jordan James. You look at just the draft invested. 49ers drafted Jordan James in the fourth round. They drafted Kalon Black in the third. So theoretically, just by that measure, maybe they value Kalon Black even more as well. That's kind of where we are. That's where it is. Yeah. Kalon Black. Some of you guys got in there. What's up, Captain? Appreciate you, man. Black is going to play a ton of snaps this year. Somebody has to. Cubs, I had Black upper 30s due to the questions about CMC workload. I have Jordan James higher, but however you think that shakes out, right? It's possible. It is. What's up, Joel, in the house, man? All the way over for the Philippines, man. Good to see you, man. Good to see. Hopefully, Joel, I get to see you tonight. We got our Zoom hangout. Don't forget. Right here, GAV, the only way Black plays a bunch of snaps is if CMC gets hurt. I think that's probably correct. Who is the drizzle? I'm excited for the undrafted running back who's going to beat out Black in camp. Yeah, they don't have one of those. Jordan Mims was there. They cut him. They currently do not have an undrafted free agent running back on the 91 man. And I think that they are short. You have Sincere McCormick and Patrick Taylor Jr. Those were undrafted free agents, so maybe it's one of them. No worries, Logan. Hopefully the interview went well. Cubs, I don't hold it against them about not being invited to the combine. None of us were invited either. There we go. I did not get my list. Can Black one cut and go? No. That's not his game. The way Kalon Black wins is tough. Quick decisions, and he's going to go where he's supposed to go. Vision's good. Way better than Isaac Garendo. You can say that about anybody. He will do the dirty work as a running back. If it's third and one, and I'm supposed to be going through the B gap, I'm going through the B gap. And he can get small because he's so small frame. So he'll squeeze, he runs hard, he pounds his feet. He is not a strider. There are a couple plays where he runs away from some guys. Those are few and far between. His legs are so short that like the stride just doesn't look right, but he ran a 4.47. So speed is adequate, but he's not a burner. This is much more of, no, he's not a burner. He's slower than Jordan James, but similar body style. Like small, but plays big. Small, but plays big. Joel, yeah, good short yardage back. I think that's kind of where he shines. He's just very tough. He's going to get, and my favorite thing about Kalen Black, no negatives. Whenever he plays, you don't get negative plays. He does the damn job at a very consistent pace. You block for two, he's going to get you four consistently. Like second and six, I love with Brock Purdy. Second and six, I'm feeling great. Second and seven, I'm feeling great. You're not going to get a lot of second and tens with Kalen Black back there. That is the positive. He's going to keep you ahead of chains, and he's going to give you third and manageable and can get you first downs. The receiving work, can Kalen Black show on that? Big plays, I don't expect a lot of them. Because like even though he plays like a big back, he's not a guy that trucks people. You know, I went through four games of his. I saw like one hardcore truck that was awesome. His thing is, I'm going to run really hard through this hole. I'm not going to flinch. I'm not going to hesitate. And his core muscle strength is just, the dude is jacked, man, for a small frame. People think they're just going to pull him down, and they just fall off his tree trunk legs. Like, that is the style of runner. So, like, you're shrinking down Derrick Henry. Is the style that you see. Now, Derrick Henry has the speed and the size and all those things. Kalen Black has none of those things. He doesn't have the speed and he doesn't have the size, but he's built like Derrick Henry. He's just, yeah, you know, you just take the photo image and you just shrink it. That is Kalen Black. Like, he's a mini me to Derrick Henry. He's 5'9", 208, and he is maxed at that. He's already maxed out. Indiana didn't throw to the running back. Wasn't his fault. They just didn't. They did throw to the other cat. The other cat had way more receptions. They didn't throw it to him. But yeah, they didn't throw a lot. Logan Black versus Jordan James is going to be great. Training camp battle might be the best one. I cannot wait. Appreciate you, Tommy, and your thing. He's always doing something. Was just going to say he doesn't ever go backwards. There's no negatives on tape for Kalen Black. Always ahead of schedule. That's just what he is. Yeah, this is good. Black running style reminds me of Chris Carson. Chris Carson's one of the best athletes to be drafted the running back position in the past decade. But yes, I do agree with you. The running style is similar without the elite athleticism. Carson was huge, but it's there. And I don't like Chris Carson either, Tommy. I'm with you. But the play style, very, 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 very similar. Very similar. Now, I know we talked about our international trips earlier, but if you do not, I got to get a coffee break. If you go to any 49ers away games, you got to come party with us this year. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. All right, let's see who can guess number 40 on our roster countdown. Perfect pair for Raheem Morris. Was a Robert Saleh guy, but I think he fits way better with Raheem Morris. Didn't get to see him a lot last year. The injury completely set him back. We're going with linebacker number 40 on our roster countdown, Nick Martin. We had him on the show last year. Kid was awesome. He's great. 23 years old. He's a youngster compared to this rookie draft class that we have this year. Just didn't play. The idea was he was going to be Drake Greenlaw's replacement last year. He was number 22, which I remember whenever I did that count, I was like, this is way too high. There's no way he can live up to this. Didn't. He's fallen 18 spots from 22 to 40. Is he even going to be a starter this year? That number three linebacker spot that Raheem Morris flexes and uses as a blitzer, drops in coverage, kind of this wild card, crazy whatever, Nick Martin's built for it perfectly. Big plays, big hits, crazy energy, shot out of a cannon. All those things that you want to throw out there with linebacker play, Nick Martin has it. Problem is he hasn't played meaningful football in 2 years. Injured at Oklahoma State. Had the crazy concussion last year. And the thing that probably sucks the most is he finally won his starting role as a linebacker. And he gets a concussion on special teams. The first special teams play. 5'11", 220, wears jersey number 45. From Oklahoma State, born and raised in Texas. Went to Pleasant Grove High School. Youngest of four brothers. One of his brothers, Chauncey, plays running back at Harding University. Back to Nick Martin. He played running back and linebacker in high school, ran track. He was a three-star recruit coming out, goes to Oklahoma State, and became a starter in 2023 and had one of the best seasons a linebacker could have. Like, it was unbelievable. Then he gets injured. I think he tore his ACL. I want to make sure. Yeah, MCL. Tore his MCL in 2024 and missed the majority of the season. But then comes back for the combine, shines, athleticism, awesome. And then he gets drafted in the third round, 75th overall. This was a Robert Saleh guy. He was so psyched and wanted this kid so bad. He was, drafted in the same realm, third round, that you drafted Fred Warner in. Like, that's obviously nobody's going to be Fred Warner. There's only one. But he was supposed to be a starter from the jump. Just couldn't catch it. It couldn't catch on, and it just didn't work out. And then the concussion happened, and it's just like, oh, I won't say a wasted year because I know he learned a lot, but just hurts. It probably the thing that hurts the most for me, you look at that draft where the Niners took Nick Martin, 75th overall. Players taking right at him. Jacob Parrish, my second favorite player in the draft that year, was just sitting there. And if you watched the draft live with us, I was screaming. I wanted two players. I wanted Jacob Parrish, and I wanted Jared Wilson, the stud center. Dylan Fairchild went after. Josiah Stewart went after. Jonas Sanker went after. Xavier Watts went after. All those guys are clear-cut starters for their teams that were still on the board at 75. Doesn't mean Nick Martin was a worse pick. It does 1 year into it, but it's just like the context just sometimes, it burns. These goggles do nothing. It just hurts a little bit. But Nick Martin has whatever it is. Just doesn't have the experience. Doesn't have the reps. Hasn't gotten to the place where, and now he's playing a different role. I want him to play that number three. I want him to start that number three linebacker spot that blitzes off the edge because he can do all that. He can do it all. Or do the 49ers put Nick Martin to say, look, we drafted you thinking you would replace Drake Greenlaw last year. Well, now Drake Greenlaw's back on a one-year deal. Why don't you replace Drake Greenlaw next year? So do the 49ers just keep Nick Martin at will and say, dude, you just got to learn? Or do they say, we got to get you out there now? I mean, Nick Martin versus Tatum Bethune for that Sam role, that's a fun little spicy matchup. And in this defense with Raheem Morris, that is a position that can produce tackles, sacks, pressures. I mean, you got to be versatile. Nick Martin fits it to a T. He really, really does. Had 9 tackles last year. He played in 7 games, no starts. He finally got the chance to start, then got injured. It was very, very scary. 73.9 special team score. Looked great on special teams. 78.9 tackling grade. Coverage is his problem. He had a 47.9 coverage. That's his issue. The concussion just was so weird. is like, dude was just on IR forever and got no updates. It's just like 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. All right, we're in the offseason. This dude going to retire. Oh, no, he's cleared. He's been cleared. He's doing great. Like, weird. Just weird. And so I really hope things kind of get regulated for him because there's something there. You don't want him to be another what if, but you care about the kid more than you know what I mean? Like, that's a scary ass concussion. You get another one of those. You get another one of those. Scary. So anyway, I really, really hope Nick Martin goes out there and shines and just seizes the freaking day, man. Just seize the day. Yeah, I love it. Cubs says, I'm in Oklahoma City. What's up, man? I went to SNU for my undergrad over in Bethany. Little known fact there. He says, I'll finally get my first road trip in Dallas. I'm so excited. And my girl's a Cowboys fan. Oh, well, she's going to be disappointed. But I'm excited to meet you guys. It's going to be a good time. Yeah, Nick Martin. A lot of you guys got it. Nick Martin is the biggest question mark on this entire team to me. It's just huge, the swings. When we're doing draft profiles, it's like high floor, high ceiling. Low floor, low ceiling. All this dude is high floor, low ceiling. It could be anything. You have no clue. He could never play again. He could get one more concussion, career's done. Or could be a guy getting five sacks as a linebacker. It's in the cards. It's there. Got to see how it's going to go. Nobody knows what he could become. Not even him. Well said. Well said. I'm going to just stay away from that one. I appreciate the question. Sometimes if I don't know, if I can't speak knowledgeably about something, I'm just going to stay away from it. And not because I don't want to contribute to something I don't know about. Just not my thing. Maria, yes, the biggest question mark. He's violent and fast, out for blood, but there isn't a lot to go off of. Not a lot of tape. Hopefully he comes back with a vengeance. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love all the positive stuff that's in the chat. You guys are awesome. I love it. Yeah, Ben, I was yelling for Parrish too. I love Jacob Parrish. He was just, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I loved it. I loved it. Oh, look at this. Niners now. What advice would you give to a starting up 49ers podcast content creator? One, do it because you love it. Be yourself. I don't know what you like. You got a niche down. If you're just trying to start a Niners show now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not saying don't do it. There's 60, I think like 68 or something like that out there already. You've got a niche down. My role, I started 10 years ago. This is episode 1668, right? So I got a little bit of a head start. Doesn't mean your show won't be better than mine. It's going to take it a while to catch up. So you got to niche down into what it is you are bringing. And I would argue, try to bring something that nobody else is bringing. My thing, I want to be a fan of the fans. Everything I do is for the fans. I want to be positive. I don't want to be a beat writer. Don't want to be an insider. I don't care about the negativity stuff. I want to be about film. I'm a former coach. That's what I bring. What do you bring that's different? And when you start something, you better be having fun. Because if you're not enjoying doing it and recording it, nobody's going to have fun listening to it. You got to enjoy life. So it's a passion project, and you start out because of the passion. If eventually it starts making money, I got beyond blessed. Never even dreamt this would be my full-time job. Never was even, like, considered. I just had to do it because I was depressed. I missed coaching so bad. When we adopted the boys, I had to quit coaching. And so I was just sad. And my buddy Chuck, who you guys all know, was like, dude, start a podcast. And here we are, 1,668 shows later. But reach out to me. Happy to help in any way that I can. I've made so many mistakes. I can help you avert all those. So just reach out to me, 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com. Happy to help. I've helped people start shows about autism, about Alzheimer, about finances. So like, even if it's not a Niner show or whatever, if you want help, like, I don't want anything from you. I just want to help other people. If one of us wins, we all win. I believe in that. So please reach out and we can start a dialogue and go into deeper detail. You're the freaking man. Do it though. If you're thinking about doing it, do it. Stick with it. I think it's awesome. Anyway, we're way behind and I'm already at an hour. We got one more player. Let's go. Yeah, right here, Tommy, 49er Miners does it out of his car. He has 10,000 subs now. You just got to figure out, like, find a need, fill a need, be consistent and be true to yourself. Like, imagine, and I tell people this all the time, and I believe about this in life. You go to a job interview and you're going to be something you're not, and then you get hired. You have to be that version of yourself from there on out if you get the job. That's not good. Be true to yourself. And if they don't want you, you don't want them. You are a badass. Like, there is only one of you. So you go be yourself. And if for some reason that's not enough for them, whether that's dating, job, whatever, cool. It's going to be enough for somebody else out there. And so you just got to find that. Don't become something you hate. And don't the comparison thing, like, yeah, there are people with way more subs and way more money and way more clicks than I will ever have. I don't need one more subscriber. If I could maintain where I am right now for another 10 years, sign me up right now. Like, I hope we get more subscribers and I hope my income goes up. That is great. Don't need that. And I don't want to sell my, like, I could, there, I understand how the system works. I could make stupid ass headlines and YouTube channel clips and all that stuff and do fine. That's just not, I don't enjoy that. And I don't want to put that out into the world. That's so, like, just be who you are. So, like, that's not just for the person that's, you know, starting their stuff, but dude, you're a badass. Share that with the world and allow the response to tell you if people want that or not. It's just what it is. I want your income to go up too, John. Thank you, Tom. I love it, man. I absolutely love it. And it's so funny because I went to college forever. Anyway, I went to a lot of college, grad school. And now my job, I don't even need a high school diploma to do. But it's funny how it works out. Now, I don't miss or regret going to all that schooling, but it's just what it is. Dave, what's up, man? John, can you help me start a show on how to shoehorn in movie quotes from Shawshank Redemption? You are always yourself, and we love it. Dude, appreciate you. Dude, Shawshank, it's the best of the best. It's the best of the best. Get busy living or get busy dying. So, so good. Yes, I could help with that. I would love that. Right here, Monkey, I would have stopped watching it if it wasn't for the cheesy references that Chapman makes. Obviously joking. No way. That's not a joke. It's not a joke. All right. Last one we got today. Number 39. Missed all of OTAs. Versatile career depth piece on the offensive line with an elite work ethic that comes from his dad. Number 39, Brett Toth. The center/guard interior offensive lineman is the term I like to use because he can play all three interior spots. Wears jersey number 78, 6'6". He's a big, tall center, 304. He's 29 years old. From Army, baby, the Black Knights. You got to love it. Born in Charleston, South Carolina, he went to West Ashley High School, joined the United States Military Academy, finished out as a second lieutenant in the U.S. Army. Dude. Are you freaking kidding me? What a badass Brett Toth is. He deferred his military service to join the NFL. He found a home in Philly as an undrafted free agent, serviceable depth player. He played for three separate teams for the Eagles and just like bouncing off their, practice squad. But every single time he's gotten called up and played, he's played 37 games. He has 6 starts. And the tape is consistent. It really, really is. He's a ROTC instructor at Temple. Dude, that badass mamma jamma Brett Toth. What a unique story. And again, you talk about what he's accomplished. He played 424 snaps last season. Like, this guy has played football. He just hasn't locked on a job. And the fact that he's coming from Philly, that is huge because that means he's been coached by Stoutland, who can't believe they moved on from him, but I think he's the best of the best of the best of the best. You could argue one of the best offensive line coaches in the history of the NFL. He's going to compete for the left guard job, but missed all of OTA. So he's a little bit behind now. And he's the backup center. So there's a lot of ways that Brett Toth makes the roster. I would be willing to say he has less of an opportunity to earn a starting job through training camp and preseason as, you know, Connor Colby or Robert Jones. I think those two guys are probably slightly ahead of him for the left guard spot. But I could see Toth the first one off the bench for left guard, center, or right guard. This is your versatile interior flex offensive, you know, your out, you know, infielder. He could do everything. Niners love this type of player. And I was really upset when the 49ers let Matt Hennessy go. Well, it turns out he just got put on IR. He had an existing injury that carried over from last year, and now his season's over. So that makes a little bit more sense. Now, I was still just like, dude, why is Matt Hennessy not back on this team? Nah, he was injured. Tried to give it a go, didn't. His career might be over. So Brett Toth did have an ACL tear in 2022, which set him back. Last year, he started 4 games, played in 11. Listen, I mean, the numbers are good. 75.6 run blocking. That's what the tape shows. That's his specialty. 59.7 pass blocking. Not great. You know, 2 sacks, 10 hurries. Not great. He's made $5.3 million. But you look at his contract. 1 year, $2.5 million deal, $2.2 million guaranteed. Way more than Robert Morris. Robert Jones. Way more than Robert Jones in guaranteed money. Way more than Robert Jones in total money. Way more than Matt Hennessy got last year. The 49ers value Brett Toth. They really, really do. And there's, again, a myriad of ways. I can't find a way Brett Toth doesn't make the 53. Robert Jones, there's a little bit of a wild card there with the injury, all that kind of stuff. Connor Colby's making this roster. Now, maybe Carver Willis beats him out, but Carver Willis is making this. It's rough. There's a lot of bodies out there. I can't find a pathway for my man Brett Toth not making this roster, even though he hasn't practiced yet. The body of work is too good. The 49ers paid, not necessarily premium, $2.5 million, not a premium. But for a backup center interior offensive lineman, $2.2 million guaranteed, that's pretty solid. The Niners wanted this dude there. Big time, big time, big time. So yeah, I really like Brett Toth. I don't think that he's going to win the starting left guard spot, but I just cannot find a way that he is not out there. I really, really can't. And you talk about, I mean, he's 29. He's 3 years younger than Jake Brendel. If Brett Toth goes out there and proves he belongs, Brett Toth could be the starting center next year. Him and Carver Willis are kind of competing for that. They want Carver Willis, and I think Carver Willis will eventually be the long-term center. That's what they want. But Brett Toth, man, we'll see what he's got there. We'll see what he's got there. Have we done Farrell yet? Yes, we did. He was very low on our list. Notorious GV, I'm charging John 3 beers each for everyone in the chat. It wouldn't be the first time. It would not be the first time. It's just what it is. Logan Toth could honestly start for us if need be. The 49ers champion themselves. This is the Chris Forster way. Dude, let's just get some value guys that we could plug in that could play adequate football. Let's just get some average players and pay below average salary. We sandbag some of that capital and we put it on playmakers. This is what they do. This is what they do. So, yeah, do with that how you see it. Like, I like Brett Toth. I do not see him as a game changer. I don't see him as, like, a perennial starter. But, man, the versatility is nice. Niners Now. Thank you, bro. This helped me a lot. I will give it my all. Look at this. Go get that channel, man. Let us know, and I'll promote the channel on here to get you started. We are happy to help in any way at all. Cubs right here. You can do it. It's all about just starting. Number one piece of advice, just start. Don't wait for perfection. I don't give a damn what it is, whether it's a diet, workout plan, investing, don't care. Just start. You'll figure it out along the way and adjust along the way. But getting started is the hardest freaking step. Just start. Just start. Don't wait for perfection. Ever, ever, ever. Ever, 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 ever. Found out the other day, Toth's name is pronounced Toth. Toth. Thank you. I'm going to continue to mess it up. I'm going to try not to. Toth. Toth. anyway, yeah. Toth? Man, what a fun show. You guys are awesome. So some dark horse impact players, like out of these five, if one guy could excel of your choice, Brett Toth, I think I said it right, Nick Martin, Kalen Black, Robert Jones, Jordan Watkins, like if one of those guys that we covered today could be a breakout year, who would you choose? I'm choosing Nick Martin. The upside in the need? Ugh. Now, if any of these five do become that player, it's not, that's huge. If Jordan Watkins becomes a stud, wow, good Lord. Then maybe you do have a guaranteed top 10 wide receiver core. If Robert Jones comes out and is freaking awesome, the running tack resumes where it was. If Kalen Black is that guy, you've got a rookie running back on a rookie deal for 4 years. Now you're not hamstrung to Christian McCaffrey being the only guy that your offense goes through. If Brett Toth goes off, man, he starts at left guard, could be the long-term center. Good gosh. If one of these guys just goes off, it'd be awesome. But yeah, Martin. We've got one for Toth. Logan, considering how good the Niners are with linebackers, Martin at least has good tutelage. He's going to learn. You're going to learn. You're freaking Fred Warner, Johnny Holland, KJ Wright, Dre Greenlaw. The wealth of information in that linebacker room. Soak it up, man. Soak it up. Guys, this has been fun. You guys are awesome. I should be back with another countdown tomorrow. We are not going to have the John Wayne show. He's got stuff going on. He is the freaking man. But again, last reminder, Zoom hangout tonight, 5 p.m. Pacific time tonight. Go sign up, the49ersrush.com or on our Patreon channel. The link is in the description of the video or podcast you are watching or listening to. 7-day free trial. You can cancel right afterwards. No hard feelings. But if you like what we do and you want to support us, that's the best way to do it. Thank you so much for your time and spending time with us and for the positivity you bring to the faithful. You are the best of the best. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.